Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The doctor was the mother. He stood on a block of ice. Both of them were goldfish. It was the cabin of an airplane. He stabbed him with an icicle.
Welcome to a very special AMA episode of Hey Riddle Riddle. This is due to the fact that we have 1,000 five-star reviews.
Woo! Ooh,
wow!
Woo!
Happy birthday to us!
Give us a spin.
And we promised
nothing.
We promised we would do this AMA that is an ass mouth ass for all of our fans.
Just like your favorite stream from Requiem for a Dream. This is ass mouth ass. Now, if you're listening to this and you did not leave us a iTunes review, go ahead and hit that pause button.
Come back to it later.
Come back to it later when you leave a review. If you haven't left a review, please do so. We would really appreciate that. But we've hit 1,000, so fuck you. Also, we need to let you know up top immediately, we have a live show in L.A. coming up. We're going to be at the Hollywood Improv on May 12th, which is Mother's Day. Bring your wives, bring your kids, bring your mommies,
bring your pens.
Bring your pens. Aaron will drink them.
And your riddles. Definitely bring riddles.
We definitely need riddles. We're coming with none. Otherwise, it's just going to be polite conversation and small talk. So that's going to be Mother's Day. Please check that out. You can go to headgum.com/live to find tickets. We really hope to see you there. And we'll be in town for a few days. So I'm sure we'll say hi to as many people as we can and hopefully go to Disneyland. Aaron, you going to Disneyland?
That's the plan.
I plan on going. So we're going to get into our AMA. These are AMA questions that we received on Twitter, Instagram, through email, and on our Patreon Discord. You two ready for this?
I am.
I'm absolutely ready to answer questions. I'm happy to do so. And
you're
not going to catch me in any of your legal tricks at all. I'm not going to get up here on the stand and get flummoxed and flubbustered and Lorexed.
Flummoxed and flummustered.
Did you kill all those squirrels?
Okay, first of all, I'm so sorry.
You're not going to catch up and flummustered me.
Literally, no one asked an AMA question, did I kill the squirrels, right?
Because very first question.
Most of them are that.
Did Ted Kennedy kill those squirrels? Kill that squirrel.
Ted Kennedy killed that squirrel. John, you always do this. All right, I'm ready.
I think it's way funnier if Ted Kennedy killed that squirrel.
Mr. Cut, of all of the times Aaron on any one of our podcasts has said, I'm ready. it's whenever she's like, okay, we're done with this. I'm ready.
It's her wink, wink, nudge, nudge to move things along.
I'm an Here Australian shepherd. I just herding you two towards the content that we promised.
All right. My goal here is to get at least 15 minutes in without answering a single question.
Well, you succeeded for three of them.
Damn.
So here's the number one most important question, and these are chosen at random. What is the best kind of pizza? Now, we all three reside in Chicago.
Yes.
Which is Pizza Town.
Pizza Town, USA.
USA, Midwest. I actually hate deep dish pizza. I despise it. I think it's terrible.
I have to ask Edel, because I don't have these questions in front of me. Is the answer what's the best kind of pizza or what's the best kind of pizza? Like, bagel bites are the best kind of pizza.
Kind of pizza, yeah.
Or like English muffin pizzas.
Hot pockets. Kind of pizza. Yeah. Kind of pizza.
Red Baron breakfast pizza.
An Italian sandwich. Kind of pizza.
I like a thin crust caprese pizza.
Okay. I'm going to say I like thin crust or New York style. And I'm going to say toppings. Got to go green olives. Got to go artichoke hearts. I will say if you get half green olives and half pineapple, I'm coming to that party.
Wow. My standard, being a vegetarian, is a black olive and green pepper. It's my favorite pizza topping. And my pizza tastes like swing over time, but right now what I'm really into is like the pan-style Detroit pizza, like that rectangular pizza. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like Jets pizza?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Like a little buttery crust.
And that's the pizza that Paul McCartney makes you?
Pretty good.
Yeah. And then I have a side of wings.
Wow.
Shoot me. Shoot me.
Pretty good. No,
you have to stop me.
That was a perfect joke. You're our king now.
We did it. You did it. The perfect joke.
A on pun an AM, based AM on his
wings. She perfect. Yeah. on a bonus app.
All right. This should be probably one we address pretty soon. How long do you estimate until you run out of usable riddles? Busted.
Probably really soon. It's a funny thing because people complain about us not doing enough riddles, but if we did a lot of riddles, we'd run out faster. So we're not sure what to do.
Here's what I'll say. In the known universe, there are 12 good riddles. We've done hundreds, mm-hmm. but there's only 12 good ones. I think we can go 200 episodes based on the riddle books we have and what's out there. Stories with holes. God bless us.
God bless them.
So I think we can do that. And if we mix things up every once in a while, but I'd say 200 episodes max. And then we have to do a hard pivot.
Or quit. Shake hands and walk in two separate directions.
Two separate directions? So yeah. Two of us are going together and one of us is going.
You two go that way.
And Aaron will walk into the ocean. Stones in her pocket. She walks in the ocean.
Yeah. Realistically, I think, The other thing is that, like Adel said, there are like a limited finite number of good riddles out there. The other thing is that there are an infinite number of riddles that people make themselves. So people send us like riddles all the time, and it'll be like, also people will say, this is my favorite thing to get in an email. Hey, I don't think you've done this riddle. And like, we just have. We absolutely have. And they'll like keep sending us repeat riddles.
And you call those fans names behind their back. What do you call them again?
Perverts. but I do think that when people send us riddles that they themselves write, I mean, there's an infinite number of those out in the world. So I think that will give us longevity.
We need you fans, or not even fans. Most of you are probably just listeners.
Yeah, fans of the Netflix show. You.
Yes.
We need you fans.
We need your creativity. So make us some bespoke riddles. You can always email us riddles at hrrpodcast@gmail.com. So please do that.
And we're kind of threatening you, because if you don't, we'll fucking stop.
Yeah.
There will be no podcast.
And then what? And then you have to subscribe to our Patreon.
And then I'll have to hang out with JPC at a restaurant? I don't want to do that.
Wait, where am I at?
I don't know.
You guaranteed.
You're there too?
If you're at a restaurant with me, I will make a scene.
Your JPC's chair? I don't know what you do. I don't know your life.
That's how committed I am to object work. Oh, obvious chair. Okay, here we go. Who is each of your dream guests for the show, and what podcast would each of you like to guest on most?
Oh, okay.
So your dream guests for this show, and then what podcast you'd like to guest on the most?
I'll go first. I think my dream guest for this show would be Paul F. Tompkins. I love Paul F. Tompkins. I mean, obviously, he's like Dr. Podcast out there.
Did you know if you just use his initials, it's...
Well, yeah, I did know that.
Which is kind
I
could of read. So,
but I think he's awesome. Podcast that I would love to go on, I would say...
You're a big Hollywood Handbook guy.
I love the Hollywood Handbook, but if I could choose to go on a podcast, it would be Teacher's Lounge, which is like a Stitcher premium show. I think that actually some of the episodes are free. But I was telling Adel, Teacher's Lounge reminds me of how I used to improvise with my improv team Law Dog before we kind of split up a couple years ago. But it was like that hyper yes and. Oh, I love that so much.
Absolutely. Aaron?
When we first started this podcast and you asked me about dream guests, I said Paul F. Tompkins.
Damn.
Right out of the gate, because I've loved him a very
Shit.
Long time.
Well, okay.
I would also, there's like so many great comedians I'd love to have on, but I think I would love to have more people who are like, who write riddles professionally or do like escape rooms professionally.
Like Nathan Levi?
Yeah. Like that's my dream. Because I think that would add a little bit more. Like something cool to the show.
Add
a little bit more. And then if I want to go on a podcast, it's probably why
podcast?
I won't. Podcast.
As we say in my native Boston.
Probably Why Won't You Date Me?
Aaron, what podcast do you want to be on?
Oh boy. Oh, brother.
My God, I walked right into that.
Oh, brother.
Wait, don't tell me. Because I told this to Adel recently. I called in every weekend in high school to try to get on Wait, Don't Tell Me for like 4 years, and they never put my call through. And I want to get on the show and then complain to them that they never let me
I had dinner with Peter Sagal a few months ago, and he said he does not like you.
All right. Well, can you tell him that every time a very earnest high school girl didn't have too many friends and really wanted to get through?
I said, I have a friend who tried to call into the show, and he described you specifically and said, yeah, she's the worst.
That nerd.
Every time I meet a celebrity, I carry a list of all the people that I know on me, and I ask them to really quick go down the list and just mark X's next to the people that they're not into.
X's and O's.
Yeah. Hugs and kisses.
Do any of you play?
Did you answer it?
What's? Oh no, I did not. I mean, just for like, I think it'd be really fun, and I'd geek out hard. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, I lose my mind.
Lin-Manuel
yeah.
Miranda. Miranda.
I'm sure he'll come on now after we did that to him.
but I feel like he would be great. I mean, I have a bunch. I feel like Lauren Lapkus would be wonderful. Paul Tompkins, Janet Varney. I mean, yeah, Andy Daly's
Darcy
one of
Carden.
My favorite. Darcy Carden would be. So yeah, a lot of those podcast adjacent folks. Podcast adjacent is the wrong term. They're in podcasts.
Yeah, but they're also adjacent to them. That's the beauty of terms.
Yeah, exactly. The and then what podcast I would like terms. To be on? I think I gotta go with Mubim Bam. My brother and me is that and Pop Culture Happy Hour are the two shows that I binge listen to. And Reply All I think is really good.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for me to ever be on Reply All. Do any of you play any instruments? I used to play alto saxophone, and I would play, what is that, Chimchimmery or whatever?
Chimichurri.
I used to play chimichurri, which is like a green
sauce.
Like
a sauce. A little bit of garlic in there.
But I that was for 2 years, and then I stopped.
Cool. And the question was, did you used to play an instrument for 2 years and then stop, right?
It says, do any of you play any instruments? Huh. Versus just saying no, I thought you just have some fucking fun with it.
Well, I'll say no.
Did you ever play instruments?
Yeah, I did. Man, I wish somebody would ask that question. I played clarinet when I was in the fourth grade, and then I played bass guitar when I was in seventh and eighth grade, and I guess junior or freshman year of high school.
You played Claire Danes and Annette Bening.
I played Claire Danes and Annette Bening on a 1 minute show, a 1 minute show, a 1 minute format
hey,
show.
Annette, it's me, Claire. I don't know you. Scene. Aaron.
I played a good amount of piano growing up. I have a ukulele, but that doesn't count. That's something I really wish I could do. My boyfriend is like an incredible drummer, like really, really excellent. And sometimes I get really sad that I'm not like awesome at something so we could play music together.
Does he just play like Wipeout with his shirt off?
Yeah. Just the middle of the day in his apartment. Look at this. Look at me. Wipeout.
Who are your favorite Muppets? Beaker.
Never watched the Muppets.
Rizzo. Rizzo and Gonzo is a combo. Like
who's their chemistry. And who's your favorite character from Grease?
Kinnicky, baby.
No, can someone remake
like
Grease
Jan.
With Rizzo as
Grease,
the role of Rizzo?
Grease, but for Muppets? Yeah, I would watch
Grease for Muppets?
There
Grease
are from worse Muppets. Things I could do.
Gruppets? Oh, we got to see that. You said you never watched the Muppets?
No. Nope.
What'd you watch in lieu of?
I don't know what that means.
That Louis Einerson show, Life with Louis.
Life with Louis. I don't know what I watched in lieu of the Muppets. I never like was into the Muppets or Sesame Street.
But Muppets, the Muppets umbrella encapsulates
Star
Sesame
Wars.
Street,
Labyrinth,
Star Wars, Labyrinth, Fraggle Rock.
You
never watched any of these?
I think I must have watched Fraggle Rock.
NYPD Blue.
Yes, I'm sorry. I watched it.
Westworld. Oh, yeah. I've said this on the show a bunch of times. Muppets was maybe my biggest comedic influence growing up.
And your favorite movie is Muppets Take Manhattan?
Great Muppet Caper.
Great Muppet Caper. I've never seen it.
It's so good. Can we watch it together?
And a caper's like an olive?
Yep.
Oh, I love a nice little caper. Nice little
I think that might be a fun thing for us to do the Patreon is watch that movie all together.
So are we making a verbal contract that we'll watch Great Muppet Caper?
I'm writing it in blood right now. I wish you had said verbal contract faster.
Yeah, but that's my blood.
Don't complain.
Can you imagine? Listeners.
Yes, yes, mistress.
Can you imagine?
Aaron, what if I just started to say yes, mistress, to you?
I'd throw up 30% more than I would, but I'd love it.
Not in front of you, just in general. Because she'd be pregnant.
Yes, mistress.
When did all three of you meet for the first time? This is going to be a hard one to
when did the three of us meet for the first time?
How do we triangulate?
Have we met?
Have we met? So
I think we've talked about this on the show before, but let's recap.
Okay. I met JPC, and then I met Aaron, mm-hmm. and then we all three met.
That's true.
But how did you meet JPC?
I met JPC, I feel like, just around I.O.
Yeah.
I think we just started hanging out. Then we would play board games together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought him into World News.
And then we got into that D&D game together that we've been playing for like
we got into D&D.
3 years.
Yeah. So, but I think, were you sitting in with World News by the time we played D&D or no?
I must have been, yeah. Because that's been. Like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, the first time we met was in passing.
Yeah. So the first time I met Adel, I think I met JPC first, but the first time I met Adel, I had seen him perform a bunch, and then just
you
knew
wrote
him
me
from
a
around.
Vicious note.
Yeah, just being like, boo.
Less cats.
Learn how to park.
But he subbed.
I don't have a car.
That's a handwritten note that Aaron's given me before. Learn how to park, and I'm like, what?
She put it on my face, and I'm like, that's not a windshield.
Written in your blood.
Yes, mistress.
You can tell everybody.
This is your blood.
Adel, I was taking classes at the Den, which is great. By the way, and
the Den is what Adel calls his living room.
Yeah. Oh man.
Hey, I gotta watch TV. Can you leave?
But
I'm taking
classes
at the Rumpus Room.
And do you know Jamie Bliss? You know Jamie Bliss.
I know Jamie Bliss.
Jamie Bliss and I were in the same class, and you subbed. You were a sub teacher in the class, and I did a scene, and you laughed really, really hard, and I thought I was the coolest person. I was like, oh my god, I made Adel laugh.
Oh, I read something really funny on my phone.
Okay, well this
it was a text I sent to myself.
All my confidence is oh my god. But then
do you remember the scene?
Yeah, it was an exercise focusing on the first like three lines.
Okay. Do you remember the three lines?
Jamie,
clearly this is a huge moment in your life.
I know,
and
Jamie came in and I forget what rapper she was. she was like, hey baby, I'm blank, and she said the rapper's name, and I was like, why are you in my bushes? And you were like,
honestly,
you
still
like,
holds.
You like laughed because you were like, that's sort of bad improv, Aaron.
No, did I say that?
No, you were like, oh. You were like, you're sort of making her seem like a crazy person, and that's a fun hole she has to dig herself out of. But I think it surprised you.
You just jogged my memory. I now remember that class.
Really?
Yeah, and that line still holds up as being very funny.
I do remember a scene that I did when Adel was coaching my playground team. And Adel had brought in an exercise, which was taking...
this is his Little League team that practiced on a playground?
Yes. The Sandlot. Adel had brought in an improv exercise, which was taking like two famous or known historical figures that had interactions together, and then you improvising as those characters, but not with any like specific situation.
Can I swoop in?
Please.
Because I'm trying to remember. Did I make you Judas?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. I think it was John Nakowitz, but I don't remember who the other person was. But it was Judas and Jesus, and the whole scene was like us meeting and then like walking away from each other and turning back and being like, I'm gonna miss you, man. And just like, I can't, the context was that we were like always about to talk about like the betrayal, but then we just kept moving past it. And I remember that Adel was like doing that thing where he is like, this sucks, I fucking hate it. Like giggling into his hand because he was laughing very hard. And I was like, oh, I remember that scene being like, yeah, we crushed that scene.
Two other quick things about meeting both of you. I auditioned for a playground team and you didn't even give me a call back.
I don't remember that.
Let it be known.
You probably, then, hey, Aaron, you probably had a shitty audition.
I definitely did. But that's not the point of what I'm saying. And then JPC, I've said this before in the show, but the first, we met at CIC and I saw you perform a bunch, but the first conversation we ever had was on a porch on Easter, I think, one year, and we talked about Veep.
Oh, yeah, it was
for
wearing
like 20
a
minutes.
Big bunny suit.
You were wearing a big bunny suit. You were a real perv.
The first conversation we had was on a porch on Easter. Sounds like a Tracy Letts play.
But this is another very nice thing. Adel also is the reason why I got a lot of opportunities I have in Chicago. Like, after like seeing me around, he thought of me for some like, what was it? What's the thing that
Hey Riddle Riddle.
No, no, no. Come on. No, what the form that's mostly
oh, fabulous. Dragon's Breath.
Dragon's Breath.
So I brought you both into Dragon's Breath.
Dragon's Breath, yeah.
I brought you both into World News. I brought you both on a Hello from Magic Tavern. Mm-hmm. I used to do this podcast.
Yeah.
So return my fucking texts.
First of all.
You're not in my phone. You're just not in my phone.
You're not in my phone, dude.
I changed your name to unknown number. I see the text, but it
Every
says
time.
Unknown number.
Mine says Domino's. So I could have real disdain for you when
First
you're not
of all,
my pizza.
I'll answer your text, but I don't know what help means. I need a little more context.
I
thought
we
were talking about favorite Beatles albums.
I don't know what I miss you means. I'm ready for another question.
You can save one book in your book collection. What book and why?
Oh, my book collection, the one that I have. I'll say this. My favorite book, a book that I've reread maybe three or four times, is Catch-22 by Joseph Heller. I think that book is absolutely hilarious. I'm a big fan.
Yossarian
the Assyrian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that book. Milo Minderbinder. Very fun.
I would say, so maybe my three favorite books are The World According to Garp by John Irving, The Humans by Matt Haig, and then 10th of December, which is a collection of stories by George Saunders. I'd say The Humans, because The Humans is like one of those books that's so funny and so beautiful and so makes you so emotional. And then the book ends with a list of...
sexual positions. Like
wait, what did I say? The Kama Sutra. The Kama Sutra is such a funny book.
That's the way the book is.
It like, is pretty funny.
It's like you can put your dick in that way. Like, that doesn't make sense, but it's fun. But the book, The Humans by Matt Haig, ends with a list of like 100 reasons to like celebrate life, or like the great joys and mysteries of life. And it's, if you read that list, I've read it like 100 times since I've read the book the first time.
Brag.
I can read.
Weird flex.
But it's such a fantastic book. And just for that list alone, I would just want to have that list to keep glancing back on the rest of my life.
That's great.
Aaron, and you said your favorite book is Johnny Depp.
The actor. I can't read.
Aaron, you said your favorite book is The Notebook?
The movie.
Sam a Bird.
I would say that I'm trying to think of a book I would save is probably a signed book that I have. Like a signed copy of something.
And in your head, the book's like drowning or there's a fire.
Yeah.
And then you save it.
Yeah. It's like the Titanic sank, the book's in the water, and I'm Kate Winslet. But I have a book that's signed by Stephen Sondheim that my aunt sent,
I don't mean to mansplain.
The Shining.
You said it wrong. Stephen King.
Oh, no.
JPC and I made the same joke.
That he was like, Aaron, like, thanks so much for your enthusiasm, Stephen Sondheim. So I'd maybe save that.
That's fantastic.
Or my mom is a librarian and cares so much about reading books. It's great. But when we were growing up, we had to wait in a lot of lines to get like authors to sign books. And now
did you say that,
like,
she was a librarian or a librarian?
A librarian.
She's a linebacker?
She's a linebacker.
For the Rams?
Yes, mistress.
Yes, mistress. And I have a copy of The Giver signed by Lois Lowry.
Oh, wow.
That I think that I would save. Like, there's a couple other ones like that.
I'd give her that book right to the fucking trash.
I have a one called Enthusiasm by Polly Shulman that is a
Polly
young...
Polly Shore.
Oh, my God.
Whistle.
She's a young adult author. It's like, but I wore that book out when I was like 14.
God, I guess my favorite book is Biodome.
I'm ready for the next question.
I wore
question.
That book out. Can I ask, is your mom still a librarian?
She is.
Where can people find her?
Leave her alone. But if you want book recommendations, it's so funny because my mom is a librarian, but her favorite genre of book is nonfiction stories about people surviving on the ocean.
Wow.
Which sounds specific,
genre.
But there are hundreds of books.
Yeah, I've seen Open Water.
Yeah, it's basically just like, Aaron, they were on the ship. And Aaron, I'll tell you, they didn't think they were going to make it.
And they had to poop off board.
It was nuts.
I'm going to use that answer you just gave to launch into to piggyback onto this question, which I just saw.
Is that legal?
Which is, what's up?
Is that legal?
Didn't you say that you're not going to get bogged down in any of my legalese?
Yes, but I'll bog everyone
else down.
He killed
those squirrel.
Technically killed that squirrel. So this question is, what's the one thing we'd be most surprised to learn about you? And I'm going to immediately latch onto what you just talked about, which is a big thing about me that people probably don't know or would guess is that I'm terrified of water, like not
me
like
too.
Pools or something, but I've been to the ocean many times and people are like, let's go into the ocean. I'm like, I can't. Or we'll be on like a boat and they're like, let's go snorkeling and scuba diving. And I'm like, I really can't. So I've been snorkeling once in Hawaii, but it was in like, I mean, I never left my feet. So I just like dipped down my head. I never left my feet, but I am terrified of the ocean.
Whoa. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
JPC?
This is one thing that you two don't know about me, or one thing that people would
know? It's one thing we'd be surprised to know about you. So I think
you
we as the audience.
Oh, the audience would be surprised to know. I am a pretty hardcore into budgeting. I have apps and spreadsheets and like retirement accounts, and I like I scrimp and I save and I pinch pennies.
Shrimp.
And I shrimp. I shrimp and I clam.
I scrimp scrampy.
I shrimp scrampy and I shrimp. I shrimp scrimp scrimp scrimp. And I guess I can be pretty if there is the difference between like going and getting something delivered and me walking like 6 blocks like in the snow, I'll just like I'm like well, I'm gonna walk $6. I'm not gonna spend $4 on the delivery fee, and plus you got a tip. So I'm pretty miserly.
Let's get the journals.
Sometimes I've thought about asking you to help me.
Like okay,
paying I'm paying you a couple $100 and being like, fix my life financially.
I'd also help everybody for free because I love doing it. And I have helped many people that have been like, hey, can you just help me with this? And I'm like, yes, we'll sit down and we'll give you some homework. But it's something I love doing because I love like talking about it and, you know, going through that process.
Well, your shirt says I love lamp. And that's a reference to
I'm a big
to
comedy guy. The thing about budgeting is once you do it once, it's like you kind of set it and it's like that's your budget now and it's set. So I really do like helping other people do it because then you get to like go back and do it again and get your hands dirty, which I can't just like blow up my financial life and start that over again.
Cool.
I guess I could.
I'm trying to think of what mine is. In the context of the show, and I think it's something I've talked about before, is that people thinking that I laugh easily at things. Like, I feel like because I am on Hey Riddle Riddle and you hear me laugh so hard at Adel and JPC, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not an easy laugh.
Do you find that people who appreciate our show come up and try and get you to laugh or something?
Not necessarily.
People tickle
like,
the shit out of me.
But my boyfriend was just saying, like, he recently was like, you're an easy laugh. Like, between
while
me and
drumming,
Hey,
shirtless?
Yeah, like, wipe out. But I was like, no, I'm in love with you. And then also I'm in love with JPC and Adel. Of course I'm laughing at all their jokes. But I think, like, there are like 10 people in the world who make me like belly laugh hard, and like two of those people are in this room. So I think it's a little misleading. I think I'm a little bit more, it's not that I don't think people are funny. I feel like pretty intensely anxious around a lot of people. So it's hard for me to like relax enough to laugh really hard.
I'll also say that Adel and I probably have this same problem because it's a podcast and you can't see our faces, but we a lot of the times have like this like resting fuck you face, which I know I don't really see a lot of improv shows anymore, but I know when I was seeing a lot of improv shows, people would like not want me in the audience because of how much my face was just like, I fucking hate this. Because I probably did, but not all the time. And it just like that's the natural resting place.
Yeah,
that my
eyebrows
face
like narrow. So people are always like, I had the same thing where people after shows would be like, did you not like the show? And I'm like, no, I loved it. And they're like, we could see you in the front row or in the second row. And it looked like you were pissed. And I'm like, no, I'm just watching a show. I need to shave off my eyebrows.
Look yes, like that guy, yes. Wait, let me do it.
Look like that villain from Barry.
If we get 2,000 reviews.
2,000 reviews, I will shave my eyebrow. My wife. So this is a good one to go to. Could you give us a little insight into what your recording process is like? So we talked about in studio we have resting asshole face. So for each episode, I think we record 3 episodes every Sunday, right?
And let me just say, we record 3-hour-long episodes in about 4 hours. We get in pretty quick.
Pretty efficient. Yeah. And we don't cut much. There's not much fat we trim, as you can hear in our episodes. But we usually do, we record every Sunday 3 episodes. We record in the Cards Against Humanity studio. We have KJ Snyder do the editing, boop, 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 boop. And we usually discuss who's going to be doing what. So we'll say Aaron's going to do a Patreon episode, Adel and JPC will do a regular feed, and then we'll swap that out depending on what we need.
Due to the nature of what we do as well, we kind of leave each other in the dark a little bit because, you know, so much of it is like surprise and it's riddles and it's like we don't, unless it's something like really weird, we don't really run it by each other first.
I didn't run the Sherlock episode by you guys.
No.
And that was really weird.
Yeah.
Were you guys upset?
No,
that was one of my favorite episodes.
It's
ever.
More fun that way.
I think people are also surprised to know that we recorded the first 7 episodes months and months and months before we recorded the 8th episode.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So all of those sort of live in a bubble. And I also think in those 7 episodes, maybe you can hear it. But I honestly thought I was like, there's a chance that this never, no one ever hears this. And I'm just doing this for fun. And also, it was this weird out-of-body experience when those episodes came out because I had no memories of what was in it. And people were like, JBZ killed a raccoon? And I was like,
what?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I should re-listen to
these. In a scene? No, in real life.
So, yeah, I think like maybe people can tell a shift between episode 7 and 8, but mm-hmm. it's just interesting.
I feel like it's, I feel like with any pot, like with Magic Tavern or with this, there's a, because everything's done in such advance that people will come up to me and be like, two slaps on the wrist for being a dum-dum. And I'm like, what's up? And they're like, two slaps on the wrist for being a dum-dum. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, episode 47. And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, it came out like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, that was recorded last year. But people want to reference, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's the same. You lose track of what you've said and what you've done.
We recorded the first episode in April of last year. That's how long ago.
And we didn't release
it
until July, June. Yeah. So it's like Stain said.
It's been a long time without you, my friend.
That's Stain?
Yeah.
So we'll go immediately into this. What are the unique challenges of doing improv for audio? I think keeping energy up because you're seated. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're trying to be physically expressive, and when you're doing characters, sometimes it can be low energy. So I think keeping energy up is hard.
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know.
I've noticed that because sometimes we record our...
Sometimes we talk over each other is a big one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's perfect timing, and that is a perfect joke. You two are killing it tonight. We record the regular feed episodes first, usually in a night. So sometimes I feel like it, those sometimes you have to summon energy, and they come slow. And then we usually record Patreon last, and that's why I think those feel like dizzy and like fever dreamy.
Slap happy, yeah.
Because we've been here so long. Yeah, I think it's definitely. I mean, I actually like doing the audio improv because I think I really like doing clear initiations and knowing things right out of the gate. But
which
was,
is also what World
comedian,
News is. World News is all pointed initiations where it's not it's not a lot of organic play, which is what a lot of our training is, which is sit and see what happens. What's in front of you? How's the other person looking at you? What emotion are you feeling? What's the character, right? With World News, it's the exact opposite where it's what's an intelligent pull that you can pointedly clue somebody into so they can play within that world.
I will also say that KJ's sound editing and sound design helps immensely for the final finished product, because for us it's like we're doing riddles and then we're jumping right into the
KJ's
scenes.
KJ's crying.
KJ's watching Dear John on their computer.
They just ate four hot peppers.
Dear John.
But when KJ puts the editing in, it adds this tonal difference to the improv parts, and I feel like that it makes it this more refined finished product, which is easier to listen to, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also I think sometimes we sabotage scenes way more because we're trying to be silly with each other and
we're Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Well
also they don't have to last. Anything that we get to just needs to get to something ridiculous so we can go away and come back to real life, which is riddles.
Riddles is life. Mm-hmm. Have we said that?
Get that
podcast?
Tattoo. Get that tattoo, and I will pay for
riddles
your brother to go on a date.
No joking, JPC. The one I have pulled up is: do you all have any tattoos? What's the worst tattoo idea you've ever had? I don't think any of us have tattoos, right?
No tattoos.
I have no tattoos. My improv team Wet Bus has almost gotten a tattoo a few times, and you might appreciate this.
Sure.
If we got a Wet Bus tattoo, I'd want to get the outline of Harrison Lott's hair, and that's it.
Hey, what year, you know?
yeah. Okay. 2016.
2016, okay, yeah. That makes sense. I have no tattoos, no plans to get a tattoo.
Can I posit this?
Yes, please.
If we get 3,000 five-star reviews... the three of us will go get Hey Riddle tattoos.
No. Only if it's by my butthole.
No.
JPC gets Hey. I'll get Riddle. Aaron gets Riddle.
I want Hey.
Aaron gets Hey.
Hey's for horses.
I get Riddle. JPC gets Riddle. I have nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me?
On his face.
My girlfriend and I were talking about tattoos, and she was like, her theory was, she doesn't have any tattoos, but she was like, if I was going to get a tattoo, she would want to get something very basic just to get her first one done with. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have to think about it. She'd want an outline of a heart. And I was like, that is very basic. And I was like, if you get an outline of your a heart as a tattoo, I will get Bruce Springsteen lyrics. I don't care what song.
A Pumpkin Spice Latte.
What lyrics? And you go, Dealer's
I'll
Choice.
I'll say, you get an album and just whatever moves you, my man.
Nebraska.
And I want Bruce Springsteen lyrics somewhere on
my
body.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Not that one. anyone but that one. You said dealer's choice.
Your girlfriend's about to get an email from me. A very convincing email.
You know, do you guys know Michael O'Brien?
Yes.
Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He used to go by Pat O'Brien. He's now Michael O'Brien. He created the show AB Bio, which is phenomenal. He's used to be on SNL for a long time. He famously, in the improv community, wanted to get a tattoo just to get it over with, because he's like, no matter what I get for my first tattoo, I'm gonna regret it. So let me immediately regret it. So he went into a tattoo studio and got a big NSYNC logo on his shoulder.
That
was just his first tattoo.
That's so
and
awful.
Then when Justin Timberlake was hosting SNL or was a guest or something, he showed it to him to be like, look at this tattoo. And Timberlake's like, what's good? Like, thought he was just like a weirdo fan.
That's so funny.
I don't have any tattoos, but we did. Arnie and I talked about getting a Magic Tavern tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Tattoon. That's where Yoda's from, right?
Tafoon.
Saltwater Tafoon. But we talked about getting a Magic Tavern tattoo, but then I believe Matt was not into it. So I think it was something the three of us, like, we should bond over this, but then Matt didn't want to do it, so we respected that. But I might get, at some point, I might actually get like a badger or something.
Cause that's
like,
cool.
That's been such a big part of my life that I'm like, I should maybe do something. I also talked about getting, there's a tattoo artist in LA that I like that does like campfire scenes. And I feel like I would want to do some sort of like outdoorsy campfire scene, perhaps.
Cool. I see people with like sleeves or quarter sleeves, and I'm like, I think that would be cool.
Not talking about shirts, dude. Anyway.
Yeah, I like sleeves.
I don't think I'll ever get a tattoo, because then I couldn't get into Jewish cemeteries, and that's where I'm spending like 95% of my time.
Cemetery.
So.
Oh my God. I'm ready.
My brother-in-law is covered in head to toe in tattoos. And he has a giant Salvador Dali picture on his back.
Cool.
Let's see.
Not a tattoo, a picture.
What's the one superpower you would not want?
Oh, that's so easy. Reading minds.
Getting fucked by bees.
Not being able to climb a ladder.
That's a superpower?
Superpower that you don't want, reading minds?
Yeah, of course, okay. Reading minds. What? That's awful.
I would not. I feel like super strength would be bad, because you'd like open a door and rip it off the hinges, or you'd high five someone and kill them. Like super
time
strength.
Time travel's too much responsibility too.
I'm in the middle of talking.
Yeah, she got your ass done.
About
ass.
Climbing up.
Got your ass.
I got your ass. Got with your revenge ass. From earlier. Remember?
Yes, mistress.
Grandpa, give it back. Got your ass.
What's the Mr. Fantastic? He gets all bendy. I don't want that.
Stretchy.
I don't want stretchy. Fuck that.
Why not? That's super useful.
That's Mrs. Incredible.
Useful. I don't want it.
Sorry. I'm thinking of the Fantastic. Did you say Fantastic or Incredible?
Yes. Fantastic.
So Mr. Fantastic can stretch and like he's like rubber, basically. Yeah. Stretch Armstrong, and that's the same as Mrs. Incredible.
Yeah.
But Adeline JBC, would you want one that, because of the power, you have like a ton more responsibility to use it to help people?
Well, with great power comes great responsibility. Uncle Ben's rice.
What's that from?
Huh? Uncle Ben, the back of Uncle Ben's rice.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yes, if I had a superpower. I mean, if I could pick any superpower that I want, I've always said this. I've said this for years. My superpower would be infinite blood.
It's my favorite Avengers movie.
Infinite blood would be great, because you can't die from blood loss. So I would like go into a restaurant and I would eat a nice meal, and they'd be like, it's time to pay the bill. And I was like, I'm not going to pay the bill. And they're like, well, sir, you're going to have to pay the bill. I'd just cut my throat and spray blood all over the restaurant. And then I'd calmly get up and be like, well, I guess our business here is done. Walk out of the restaurant covering it in blood.
And then doctors are like, John, you slit your throat open. You are going to die just because you're losing infinite blood.
It's infinite blood. No, it's infinite blood. It's always.
That doesn't mean you can't die. Do you know how death works?
Of course you can. Well, I can't die from blood loss.
You can't die from blood loss.
That shit's going to get infected.
Hey, don't.
I love you. Like rip out your intestines. And you're like, look at me
no,
now.
No. I never said that. Yeah. Infinite blood. That's mine. Next question.
You are a member of the Spice Girls. What is your Spice name? Plaid Spice.
Plaid Spice.
A JPC would be Horny Spice.
Scottish.
Aaron. Scottish Spice.
I would be Backward Horny Hat Spice.
I would be Baby Spice. No.
Can I be Budget Spice?
I'd be Sleepy Spice.
Budget
of course
Spice.
I'd be Sleepy Spice.
You would be Sleepy Spice. Sleepy Spooky Spice.
I'm giving you love. Hey, can you all keep it down? I'm crunching the numbers. Budget Spice.
I'm giving you 4% and you're matching me up to 6.
Give you up to 6. That's fantastic. Here's a very specific one. Can we get Rob White as a guest?
Who asked that?
I don't know.
Then
somebody
I don't think
Rob
wants
somebody on
to come
Instagram.
On
Rob never...
He's too classy for this
Rob
show.
Doesn't listen to podcasts. He doesn't understand them, and he would never guest on this show.
Rob White is my best friend, but I've tried to bring him on Magic Tavern, and he hates fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
He also famously will not watch cartoons. So even like Bob's Burgers and stuff like that.
Remember
Simpsons,
when he went on that rant about Disney World? Backstage.
Oh, he
hates
theme parks, yeah. But yeah. I love him.
He's a good guy. Opinionated.
Yeah.
He's also so funny. I wish
very
he would
funny.
Come
he's
on the show, but I doubt
incredibly
it.
Incredibly funny. So if you come see World News tonight and Rob is in the show, he's the guy who looks like Calvin's dad in Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, my God.
He does so much.
Please go up to him and just say, what do we want people to say to him?
You look like
you're
Calvin's.
A coward. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a coward. Go on here.
Go on a podcast, you coward.
Yeah, say go on a podcast, you coward, to a stranger.
Who are your favorite stand-up comedians? I really like Todd Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Was somebody
funny.
I've always liked. I just like his cadence and like his. He just has a very weird delivery. Obviously, Mitch Hedberg is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Bill Cosby, Louis C.K.
Oh, no. Oh my God!
Wait! What year is it?
In high school, my sister and I were obsessed with Paul F. Tompkins' stand-up. I also loved Tim Minchin so much.
Meadows.
Yeah, Tim Meadows.
Tim Minchin is the
Australian.
He's super weird, right?
Yeah.
He wrote Matilda.
Oh yeah. I don't think I've seen any of...
He does a special where he has an entire London orchestra behind him because he's a musical comedian. And it is so good. And when I lived in Australia, that was like on everyone's TV all the time. People love it there.
Fantastic.
What about you?
John Mulaney, probably.
Oh, yeah. Good one. I also like Eddie Murphy. I saw Eddie Murphy raw and delirious when I was like 12.
Oh, boy.
And that really rocked my world. I feel like that's where I learned... a lot of my naughty words.
I don't know that I watch a lot of stand-up anymore. If it comes on Netflix, I never turn on to it. I will say that I watched the Adam Sandler one on Netflix, and it was very good.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah, it was surprisingly good, yeah. Where I was like, this will be weird, but he's still got it.
He's still got it in a big way, yeah.
What is the worst prompt for an improv scene you've ever been given? I don't know, JPC, give me a prompt.
What do you mean? What is on this show?
No, I think in general, in life. So I remember being, I think this was Second City General audition. No, Second City Retainment auditions, I think. It's like you go into the training center.
Yeah.
And after level two, you have to audition to keep your spot in the training center, I believe. But there was an audition where I go out. So it's like there's a back line. You go out two at a time or one at a time, and then somebody joins you. And I went out and started doing something, like just started doing object work. And somebody ran into the scene and like pounded on like a fake door. And I opened the door and started to talk, and this person screamed over me, and they go, I'm a NASCAR driver, and I'm also a werewolf, and it's a full moon. And obviously they were panicking, like they were just drowning on stage. And so I took a moment and was like, beat, and I just went, well, you better come inside. And then somebody edited, but I was like, that is the worst. I also joked when I was in classes, me and my friends joked that the best improv initiation would be to come into a scene, wait for somebody to join you, and then say, fuck you, where are we? Which I think would be...
oh, my God.
Which would just be a really funny initiation to be like, fuck you, where are we? Start with conflict and the unknown.
I love that.
I can't remember any bad ones that I've ever gotten in a scene. I do remember I was playing on a team with someone, and I will not name this person's name. And in...
you're pointing to Aaron.
And I'm pointing to Aaron directly.
Man.
And in the scene, we were doing a two-person scene. They named me... They gave my character the name Jeremy Renner. And so I started making a bunch of Jeremy Renner references. I think I did like Hawkeye. I did the Bourne movies. I was just like dropping Jeremy Renner things, and I was getting nothing from them. And then after the show, I went up to them and I was like, hey, why in that scene did you name me Jeremy Renner? I was like doing all these Jeremy Renner things. Like, what did you want there? And they were like, is Jeremy Renner a person? I was like, yeah, it's like a famous actor. I think I did a Hurt Locker thing. They're like, I had no idea. And I was like, you just said the name Jeremy Renner? And they were like,
I can't wait to find out who this was.
I'll tell you off mic. But that was truly insane.
Off mic? He's usually so good.
He was off that night.
He was off.
I'll tell you.
I'm thinking of on mic.
Oh, he's great. But I will say that Becca Barish, who's done our High Riddle Riddle episode on Patreon, she's also been on our D&D Riddle episode. Becca Barish performed on an improv team with Jeff Dow. And Jeff Dow, if you've ever seen him perform,
he's
if you're
genius.
From Chicago, he's an absolute genius, but he's also one of the worst improvisers I've ever seen in my life. And I would hate to play on a team with him, but I have enjoyed doing shows with him. But Becca came on, and she said something to Jeff, an initiation line that was like, Mr. Mayor, something, something, something. I can't remember what the line was. And Jeff looked at her and said, I'm not the mayor. We work at a pizza place and we're out of dough. And the audience went bananas for that line. And I was like, that motherfucker. Like, and he didn't do it because he was panicking. He didn't do it because he's a bad improviser.
He did it because he could.
He did it because he could, because he could get away with it. Yep. And because he knew there was no repercussions. And I saw Becca just like give him this fucking look, like this, like, I hate you so much look, but like 2 seconds later, she was laughing.
I feel like someone like Brett Lyons, who we all play with, gets away with stuff like that, where there's certain personalities that they can do the say and do the worst thing and just get the huge reaction. Where like I've done scenes with Brett where I'm like, hey, Dad, can I borrow the car or something? And he'll be like, I'm not your fucking dad. And I'm like, sorry, Greg, I know you're my stepdad. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm not even your stepdad. I'm younger than you. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm a kid that you came up to at school and just started talking to, and I'm like, yep. Like, but the audience is like, this guy rules.
No one loves me as much as audiences love Brett Lyons.
Yeah.
No one loves me like that.
Yeah, get you a man who looks at you like
No, honestly, no, and that's fine.
Aaron, do you have an example?
Oh, yeah. Do you have an example, Aaron?
No, I was just thinking of, like, not necessarily, like, someone's initiation line, but in the World News show. When the second half of the show, we asked for questions from the audience. And one time a guy went, what kind of pasta am I? Rigatoni, spaghetti. And he listed a bunch of pastas. Oh, yes. And we had no idea what to do.
I remember that was truly insane. I will tell you that I did a really, really ham-fisted initiation once in a scene with Aaron, and we were both laughing so hard we couldn't get out of it, which was we were all like on stage, and I was like, hey, are y'all waiting in line for the bathroom? Because I invented a new way where three people could use the same toilet at the same time.
I thought I was going to throw up.
I could have thrown up.
It was the funniest shit.
That was a really, really bad initiation. Don't recommend saying that as a line in a show.
What are the most important animals in your lives?
Spaghetti. And then my dog as well, whose name is Spaghetti.
I had a cat growing up named Gus that I loved a lot.
Gus.
Yep.
The badger is a big animal in my life for Magic Tavern. But then also there's a cat named Fries, who's a cat I love. I used to think I hated cats, and then I met this cat named Fries.
And now you two go on road trips together?
No, we go on road trips, but Fries. It's my girlfriend's cat.
Your girlfriend's cat's name is Butt Fries. Okay.
Nice. High five me from the other side of the smack.
Butt Fries. What should I do when visiting Chicago this summer? You want to go to Navy Pier. You want to go to the Beam. Get some Gino Donalds.
Come to World News Tonight.
Come to World News Tonight every Saturday.
Our favorite brunch place.
Yeah, Tweet's great.
At IO. If you can afford it, go to Alinea, which is the best meal you'll ever have.
Jesus Christ.
You can't afford it.
JPC and I have been both in there.
But it's a $500 meal.
But it's worth
I've never been there. And I will never be able to afford to go there. Also, until JPC fix my budget.
I don't recommend it.
Fix my budget.
And nothing's worth $500.
Nothing. There's the Museum of Surgical Sciences, which is really cool. I feel like the Museum of Science and Industry is worth it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty great.
It's also a beautiful building.
I'd also like to say something on brand for me, which is fuck it and Google it. Fuck it, Google it.
I'd say try to get out of downtown is my biggest advice.
Yeah.
Like, don't stay in the downtown area. Try to get, like, north of Fullerton, and you'll find, like, it'll feel more like Chicago.
Explore
Chicagoans call it NoFo. No foo.
Explore neighborhoods too, because Chicago is one of the most segregated cities in the entire country. But we have the little like pockets of very cool neighborhoods. We have great.
We call them hot pockets.
We have hot pockets. We have great Ethiopian food. We have great Vietnamese food. Mm-hmm. We have a really cool Chinatown. You shouldn't say where you live.
It's too late. I gave it away.
I shouldn't say an apartment. I blew it.
I live in a place right next to a baseball field. Fuck.
Shit.
But yeah, go and check out some of our cool little neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And if you are coming, email us at hrpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll give you up-to-date recommendations.
We'll send you a big list of things to do in New Orleans if you're coming to Chicago.
Nolens. Favorite video games? I think my favorite of all time is Bioshock. I also like Mega Man, like Bubble. Silent Hill.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I mentioned this in the show before, but I watched and played so much Banjo-Tooie growing up that's got to be my favorite.
Best video game I've ever played, hands down, no contest, The Witcher 3. So good.
What was the last one you said? Silent Hill?
Silent Hill.
I don't know what that is.
Silent Hill's
It was
fucked.
A PlayStation game that came out when I was in high school, and it's just like, I used to play it with the lights off.
Ooh.
And it's like, you start off in this town where it's like kind of snowing, but you can't tell if it's like snow or if it's like
ash.
Yeah. And then there's like this weird radio frequency. So like the closer a monster gets to you, like these weird ghouls, the closer they get, the higher pitch the frequency gets. So you're the whole time you're playing,
tense.
You're on edge, and like your heckles are up, and you're just like, you have goosebumps. And then there's like all these jump scares where, yeah, it's like a really good horror movie where there's this banging sound in this locker room, and you open it and like a cat jumps out, and like, ooh, all these, it's a beautifully made game.
Games,
but I feel like BioShock's the best game ever made.
Games like Dead Space, the first Dead Space, were very much like that, which was just fucking spooky as hell, which I really loved. The Last of Us, also very spooky, but with a really cool story. I like spooky games like that.
Spooky.
If the three of you were stranded together on a desert island.
Yum.
If the three of you were stranded together on a deserted island and could only take one movie each, who would you kill and eat first?
Is that literally the question?
Yeah, that took a turn.
Okay. God.
Okay. And this is meant to be a compliment. We gotta eat Adel first.
Because you're the fattest.
No, because I think that your diet is the most delicious. Like, you eat like good food.
Prime rib. And I have gout.
I know, but you can have gluten and you can have meat, and we don't have meat or gluten, so I feel like we both won't taste very good. And you would love the compliment. You used to go, please eat me. That's all. That's you. You'd be like, please eat me. I'm gonna be delicious.
That's my new catchphrase.
Yeah.
Please eat me.
Please eat me.
It's like
I'm
a polite
delicious.
Bart Simpson.
JBC, who would you eat first?
I'm a vegetarian. I'm ovo-lacto-vegetarian, though, so I can eat eggs.
You can eat
and
my hair.
Cheese. So I can't kill or eat either one of you.
You can eat my hair.
I'd leave you both alive, but I'd eat the things that grow off of you, like toenails, pubes, hair,
ew,
teeth.
Pubes? No. Well, you're lucky. Delicious. Bon appetit.
I feel like I'd eat JPC first just because then I wouldn't have to hear all his budget talk. Guys,
budget.
We have to set aside
you
20 coconuts.
You should save the legs. You should save the legs. Legs are the biggest muscle.
We have 22 crabs. Okay, if we each have... Shut up. If there's a musical made about you, who would star in it and what's it about? Well, I feel like it's about your life. It's a musical made about you.
Yeah, but like,
it's
what part of your life?
Ascend to greatness. No, it's not. It's about me sleeping.
So it'd be Jupiter ascending.
Yep.
And ascend to greatness.
I'm going to pick a musical theater actress.
I think that's the goal, right? Who is it?
The wickedly talented.
No,
Sutton
although
Foster.
I love Sutton Foster. I would pick Stephanie J. Block to play me, but in like
Mad
a little
TV.
Like a little bit later in my life. Stephanie J. Block. That's who I pick.
Were you trying to say Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, I was trying to say. Thank God you're here, JPC.
Yeah, I get that a lot from women.
I would have Brian D'Arcy James play me.
Cool.
He's great.
And it would just be a musical about wearing plaid, being a dad.
I've heard better, I'm just saying.
I'd have Lin-Manuel Miranda play me, and it would all be all about my kind of rise to power, coming from an immigrant in the 1700s to really become kind of the foremost backer of our financial system.
And you're a bastard and a Scotsman.
Yeah. Well, the son of one.
If you had access to resources to make any game you wanted, board game, video game, etc., what would you make?
Foursquare.
I would... create like a questiony, like a personal questiony game that people can play at bars with their friends.
Absolutely.
Because I get a lot of flack from my friends, where especially Harrison Lott, who goes, stop having structured conversations. Let's just have a conversation. Because I'm like, let's talk superlatives. If we were all a list.
if I had infinite resources and money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
I have mine. Go ahead.
I would make a really fucking awesome, like really good, really fun to play, great graphics, very, very good video game that was based on a terrible movie. Like I'd do like Master of Disguise and have like the Dana Carvey movie, I'd have Master of Disguise, the video game, and people would be like, why would anyone play this? But then like IGN would be like 10 out of 10, like Polygon, like everybody's giving it rave reviews. And people are like, I guess I'm going to fucking pay $60 and buy the Master of Disguise video game. So I basically just troll.
So funny. I love that.
I have two board games card games I actually want to make. One is like acronyms or acrostics. Mm-hmm. So it's like cards with letters on them and you deal them out and then, or you can put them in the middle. And as you play them, as you get the, collect them or see them in the middle, you can make acronyms or acrostics. I also want to do one.
I feel like that's a bunch of sophomores at Yale would be like, this is my favorite
thing. pithy, prestidigitation. And then the other game I want to do, which is one of my favorite ever road trip games. And Aaron, you were on a road trip with me and we played this. It's one of my favorite games ever. I'm sure I did not make this up for sure, but I want to gamify it, which is a card game where one pile of cards says like Beatles songs or
I created this
fantasy
game.
Movie. You well, calm down.
I did, and I taught it to you two in the car, and you flipped it, and it was really
like
fun.
Like I said, I made it. So
oh,
it's like
no, I made up this game.
Beatles songs or country songs or whatever it is, and you replace one word with a specific word. So one pile would be
oh, never mind.
One pile would be what it is. So it's like a fantasy movie or a book or whatever known book. So it's like known entities, mm-hmm. And then the other pile would be like it would say like beef on it. And you have to replace one word in that title song, whatever, with the word beef. So if it's like Beatles songs and the word beef, everyone has to go around and say a Beatles song and replace one word with beef. So it'd be like, I want to hold your beef, beef me do, mm-hmm. please, please beef, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a game I want to make. We played that on the road to Kalamazoo.
We did. And that's not the game I thought you were about
what
to say.
What game did you
the
think
The game
I was
that I was thinking of is the one we played back from the escape room that Sean and I play all the time, which is either you give a song and then you talk about what scene
yes.
in the movie that song would come. Or you give a type of scene in the movie, like this is the part of the movie where a car is spinning in slow motion, and the like the hero of the movie walks out of the car really cool with like a gun, and it's like looking really cool. And then you pick the song for that.
That was a fun, very fun game.
It's yeah. a really fun
game.
I
remember cry laughing at that.
You two were freaky good at it, and it was blowing my mind.
I think one scene I described was like a dad driving a car and he puts down the top. It's like a convertible and he puts down the top and it's snowing, but then he turns up the radio and it's, what is it? Long September by Counting Crows or what's
Long
the,
December.
Long November.
It's been a long July.
We're just going to do a couple more here. This might be our penultimate question. Would you do another escape room episode given the reception of the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard because I don't think people want us to come to do their escape rooms because
it spoils it.
It spoils it.
Spoils it.
If you are about to retire an escape room, we will come and do a recording there because then we're not going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so we were lucky enough. Our friends Ann and Chris do Adventures in Time and Space in Champaign and Urbana, and they were retiring it. They were making new rooms, so we were lucky enough to have them invite us down.
I've said this to Adel before, but I have a dream that a big old-timey movie producer, Hollywood guy, hears our show and goes, what kind of TV show do you want to make? And they make a different escape room for the three of us and a guest every week.
Wait, I've had that same dream, but he has no face, and it's like an infinite void, and
okay.
then you can't move, and you're
I
screaming.
I had that same dream, but you were naked, JPC, and covered in infinite blood.
Saying, I'm not going to pay my bill.
But yeah, I think we would definitely do another escape room. It's super fun.
Netflix, if you're listening, the three of us do an escape room every week with a new guest.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly.
Netflix doesn't have any escape room based shows right now. So that's
seriously,
big.
Doesn't.
I want to do
like
that.
There was a show that I think it's off the air, but Jimmy Pardo did a show, right? That was escape rooms.
Yeah.
But it was just whoever. And then he would like comment on how dumb they were.
I think someone should produce that and then do a campaign. Tweet at any network and say, let's make
any
show
network.
Happen.
I will.
I'm not doing this
one.
For fucking MTV.
I'm not going to do it for CW.
Shit,
I will only do it for CW.
Some fucking handsome teen plays JPC. No thanks.
Some handsome teen. Did you say
everything
handsome?
Everything else stays
teen?
The same.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's see here. There's a few redundancies.
Oh,
so let's get into.
Yeah.
So here's a. This will be rapid fire, and this is a pointed one for each of us.
Gotcha.
JPC, why did you name her Spaghetti?
I used to post a picture of spaghetti every day on Facebook around the same time for 2 years, and it would always say, treating myself to a good, oh, fuck, what did it say? It said treating,
2 years.
It said treating myself to a good something. happy Monday, happy Tuesday, happy Wednesday. I posted that nonstop for 2 years and then deleted my Facebook. And then I named my dog Spaghetti.
Says Adel, who would win in a fight, Chunt or Adam Peculaire? Chunt would win because badgers are ferocious animals. I think the most ferocious animals, second only to wolverines.
I think he would also verbally just tear
verbally
him down.
Chunt, yeah, would just destroy Adam Peculaire because he's too paranoid. And then Aaron, how often does Mitch ask you to stop talking about him on the podcast?
Sweet Mitch is so patient.
Do you call him Sweet Mitch?
Yeah, he's so sweet.
Is that like a Neil Diamond song?
but he doesn't, he's such a good sport and so nice that he often doesn't say anything, but every other person I'm related to is so defensive of him, and so I have cousins being like, I love the show, but like, leave Mitch alone. Like, just cousins upon
lay
cousins.
Off of Mitch.
Lay off of Mitch.
I love that guy.
We're going to do two more and then we're done. If Kidz Bop covered your favorite song, what would the new kid appropriate title or lyrics be? So I would want Kidz Bop to cover my neck, my back, my kitty,
sandbox.
My kitty and my cat. My neck, my back, my kitty and my cat.
That's pretty
and then
nice.
Be like, meow.
God, I can't. I wish I had longer to think about this.
So Kidz Bop covered your favorite song. What would the new kid appropriate title or lyrics
so
be?
So that implies that your favorite song is like
filthy.
It's very filthy. Which I don't know that I know a lot of.
What's your favorite song?
I don't have a
Free Falling Tom Petty.
It's Free Falling by Tom Petty.
Mine might be Obvious Child by Paul Simon. Which that could say the same.
How does that one go?
Well, I'm accustomed to the smooth ride. My baby, I'm a doll and lost his smile.
If you be my bodyguard. Yep.
I will say that right now I've been listening to Lizzo's new album a lot.
So
and Juice, which is the song that's been out forever, off that album is so great. And I guess I would just love to hear a Kidz Bop version of Juice.
Again,
call it Juice Box?
Juice Box. Just call it Juice Box. And I mean, just there's probably some curse words in there that you can't say. But everything else, maybe I just want to hear the kids curse, actually.
What if Frankie Goes to Hollywood, relax when you want to fun?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You could do an entire Patreon that's just this.
Sure.
Just Kidz Bop. And then we record it.
Mm-hmm.
We should do a Patreon album where we go into a professional recording studio.
Get a bunch of kids.
And
find a bunch of kids.
Get a bunch of kids and kill them.
Yeah.
You had me at find a bunch of kids.
Here we go. Last question, which I think this is a good. I stumbled upon this, but it's a good one to end on.
Also, because we didn't get to everyone's question, and there's so many, should we promise at 1,500 we do another?
Let's say if we get to 1,001.
No.
Dalmatians.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Hey, why don't you just keep writing the fucking reviews?
Do we? Yeah, keep doing the reviews. 1,500? I'd be okay with that.
Sure.
And we'll do another AMA.
1,500 5-star reviews on iTunes. We'll do another AMA. So we'll see how popular this one is.
Yeah.
It could be that people.
No one cares. It's Monday. No one's listening.
And if we get 6 reviews on Google Play, we'll do another one of these.
Ooh. Turn on your Zunes and give us a review. Here's the last question. What's been your favorite thing about doing the podcast so far?
Oh, that's a good one to end on.
The fans. I feel like with this podcast and with Magic Tavern, my absolute favorite thing is fan art. I feel like anytime a character, a moment, anything that we discuss on an episode is made by fans, it like absolutely warms my heart. I immediately like send it to everyone I know. And yeah, it makes me feel like I've actually done something.
Yeah, and if you send us fan art on a platform that we can reshare and repost, I think, which is Twitter, pretty much, right?
And Instagram.
And Instagram.
Maybe.
You can redo
and
it
Facebook.
On Instagram.
Yeah. And email.
Either way.
I forgot to show you, Aaron. Somebody made a Momo.
God, will you send me that?
A lot of people, I showed her, a lot of people make her character Momo the Mouse.
I
do
love
fan art
that.
For it. So.
Yeah,
I showed her that.
I think send us fan art, and we will repost it and retweet it because the fan art stuff is very cool.
So that's my favorite thing about doing the podcast is the fan art. Aaron JPC, think for yourselves.
I have 4 things.
Oh, please.
But I'll go through them really, really quickly. That reminds me, when we did the episode where I talked about my childhood pretend friend and a bunch of people drew that.
Wizzy.
All the fan art that people sent made me cry, and it was just like this beautiful thing that people connected to and then took the time to do. My phone background is still a picture of me and Wizzy. Seriously?
That's cool.
So I love that. I love how often I get to laugh. Like, I just know that 3 hours a week is meant for joy, and that's amazing.
We said earlier we record for 4 hours.
I know what I said. I know what I said. I like meeting fans after World News.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the bigger things is like when college age females will message me on like Instagram mm-hmm. and like talk about like maybe they're going through a hard time or they're in college and they're feeling a little lost and they like really love the show and they appreciate like me on the show. It is the best because like that was a really hard time for me.
Yeah.
So like in the podcast I listened to then were huge for me. So
I know what I'm about to say is a joke, but I get a lot of those messages from college females as
Shut
well.
Shut up.
I said it was a joke. one of my favorite things about this and about the podcast medium in general is that, you know, I spent a long time doing improv shows. Improv shows are very of the moment. But the really, really cool thing about podcasts, this actually happened today. This gives you a hint as to when we're recording this. But someone sent us an email that said that they just started the back catalog and they were like burning their way through it. And they were like sending us questions. They were on like episode 16 and they had like, they wanted to engage with us about shit that we had talked about back in episode 16.
That's awesome.
And I love how people can just find this, something that you did 5 years ago or 2 months ago.
The permanence of it. Like this is, that's why I love, yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, but I just want to add to it. That's such a huge part of why I love doing podcasts. And like, that's all I want to do now is podcasts. Like I've quit improv teams to do more podcasts because the permanence of it, where it's like people will continue to stumble upon this for the rest of your life
mm-hmm.
versus like improv is
what?
Such a, oh yeah. Get ready. Buy new locks.
Potential employers.
Yeah. But it's a thing of like in improv, if you weren't in the room, it's so hard to capture that or retell it. But with this, you can tell people about it and they'll always find it. Sorry
yeah.
to catch up.
And that's so cool. I think that it's cool that like, you know, a person in Japan or a person in Kenosha, Wisconsin can be like having a very similar experience.
You know Kenosha's in Japan, right?
Oh, motherfucker. I got a bunch of mail that's fucking fucked.
You're thinking of Kyoto, Wisconsin.
and then, you know, people just can, you know, find it from different, you know, places and cultures and languages even. I just think that's very, very cool.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to this. If you can, please buy tickets to our show in L.A. That's at the Hollywood Improv again on Mother's Day, May 12th. You can buy tickets at headgum.com/live. Come see the three of us at World News Tonight. We perform every Saturday at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. at IO Theater in Chicago. Please stick around afterwards and say hi. Fans have been so incredible with doing that, so please do that. Also, right now, as you're listening to this, maybe pull up your app, the iTunes app on your phone or on your computer or whatever you use and leave us a 5-star review right now. Or if not 5-star, 2.
No, no. Wait, 3.
And recommend us to a friend or a coworker that you think could use it right now.
Absolutely.
And we would love to do another one of these if we get to 1,500.
And we also have if you want more Hey Riddle in your life, we have what we call the Clue Crew, which is our Patreon. For $5 a month, you can join our Patreon. We give new episodes, brand new episodes with non-riddle content every Friday. And we also have some special things in the works with that.
Live shows, things like that. They all end up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've really enjoyed this, just hang around for another 48 hours, and then our actual show on Wednesdays will download on your phone, and then just hang around for another 48 hours in our Friday show. And so don't do anything else, sit in an empty room and just wait for our shows to come out.
Try to look at a gray wall if you can.
You can.
And I think to take us out, Aaron, would you mind singing just another 30 seconds to minute, and we'll kind of, KJ might slowly fade it out. Mm-hmm. Can you just sing like another minute of Obvious Child?
Obvious Tiled.
What did I say? Obvious Child.
No, I'll change it to Tiled.
Is it Tiled or Child?
I wanted to sing one of your favorite songs, and now I forget.
Jinx, my Neck, My Back.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to sing that. No, I'm going to panic.
Okay, and that's the show. Thanks so much, everybody.
No, I'm trying to think of a part of it.
KJ, will you come in the room? KJ? 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 Can they hear me? KJ? Come in the room. Can you think of it?
Why deny the obvious child? Why deny the obvious child?
And we'll end on, since Aaron forgot the lyrics, we're going to end on KJ saying their favorite thing about doing the podcast so far. KJ, I'm going to stall by repeating that question. KJ, what's your favorite thing about doing the podcast so far?
I also love the listeners. I've gotten some very kind messages. There are some, I've gotten followed by like a bunch of queer listeners, and some have even sent me messages that are like, oh my gosh, I love that all of the hosts like use your pronouns and are nice. That's really cool.
And KJ, Adel wrote Jupiter on a card in front of you. That's what you were supposed to say.
Oh yeah.
Jupiter!
Yay!
Bye forever.
Okay.